The UN has planned to make every Miss America pageant contestant happy by bringing about world peace. All it'll take, says the draft of the visionary proposal by the United Nations Development Program, is to get rid of all pesky nations of the world. In fact, the plan, endorsed by prominent world figures, includes Nobel laureates, bankers, politicians, and economists, to end nation states as we know them, is also designed to end health pandemics, poverty, and global warming. So far, the United Nations hasn't mentioned whether the proposal will do anything for obesity. The UN has an unprecedented outbreak of cooperation between countries applied through six specific financial tools would serve as pretty much a cure-all for the world's ills and generate an extra $7 trillion in economic growth. The authors of the ambitious report do not expect nations to fold up and take the hint anytime soon, but the idea is to start the ball rolling, and maybe years or decades from now, the world will actually be ready to listen. Most of the focus on the United Nations plan is global warming, a climate change phenomenon some consider to be more theory than reality. But it seems to be the central component in the United Nations globalization scheme for the future, the very organizing principle behind the push to eliminate borders, sovereign governments, and autonomous nation states. The scheme seems far-fetched. Consider what is already has the backing of the UK, France, Italy, Spain, Sweden, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, according to the London Independent. The United Nations plan includes six immediate action steps: reduce greenhouse gas emissions through pollution permitting trade, cut poor countries' borrowing costs by securing the debts against the income from the stable parts of their economy, reduce government debt cost by linking payments to the country's economic output, an aggressive campaign of world vaccinations, tapping into the vast flow of money from the migrants back to their home countries, aid agencies underwriting loans to markets investors to lower interest rates. It's not the first time the United Nations has come out openly to suggest global government as the only solution to a world's problems. Quote, "Our global neighborhood," close quote, was a 410-page final report of the Commission on Global Governance and was published in 1995 by the Oxford University Press. That 28-member independent commission created by former German Chancellor Willy Brandt developed the following strategy as reported by the Eco-Socialist Review. Quote, to represent a shot across the bow of George Bush's world, New World Order, and to make clear that now is the time to press for the subordination of national sovereignty to democratic transnationalism, close quote. Eliminate the veto and permanent member status of the Security Council, authorizing global taxation on currency exchange and the use of global commons, create an international criminal court, create a standing army under the command of the Secretary General, create a new Economic Security Council, create a new People's Assembly, regulating multinational corporations, regulating the global commons, controlling the manufacture, sale, and distribution of all firearms. And none of these recommendations are new. All had been proposed in a variety of documents for decades by various groups and individuals. However, This did mark the first time in the comprehensive plan for global governance was published with the approval and funding support of the United Nations. To justify the sweeping changes proposed by the Commission, a new concept of security was offered. The UN's mission under the present charter is to provide security to its member nations through collective action. The new concept expands the mission of the United Nations to the security of the people, the security of the planet. Thus, in the speeches in the UN Millennial Assembly in 2000, both Secretary General Kofi Annan and President Bill Clinton made reference to this new concept, saying that national sovereignty could no longer be used as an excuse to prevent the intervention by the UN to provide security for people inside national boundaries. Is that kind of like a defund the police thing? To provide security for the planet, the plan called for authorizing the United Nations Trusteeship Council to have trusteeship over global commons, which the plan defines as, quote, the atmosphere, outer space, the oceans beyond national jurisdiction, and the related environments and life support systems that contribute to the support of human life, close quote. That was published in 2006, January 30th. 2006. And I look at the situations that we are facing today, and I think to myself, oh my word. You know, when people say it's closer than you ever thought before, they're absolutely right. Closer than you ever thought before. I think to myself, as I live a life trying to be honoring God and doing what God would have me to do and have us to do as a Christian and as Christians, what should we do? We have to understand some things here. And I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture that I think that really talks to us about this, because the next thing on God's calendar is the translation, the rapture of the saints. That's the next thing on God's calendar. We look at situations like this, we see like a stage being set, but I think the stage has been being set for a long time. I think when you look at the Adolf Hitler and his view of the Third Reich, a 1,000-year reign of the Nazis, that stage was being set. I think when you look at just go down through history of world domination or people who wanted to have the world dominate. I think the stage is being set. I'd like us to look at a passage of Scripture, though, I think really addresses this. People who were going through tremendous and tumultuous times were being fed a lie, actually. The lie was this, that they had already gone through or were going through at this time the tribulation. They thought and they were being taught that they were going through what is called the tribulation period, and that Jesus had already come and there was no hope for them, and that they were dying and suffering in vain. And so the two letters that Paul writes is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We're going to look at 2nd Thessalonians chapter 2. But the two letters that he writes to this small church in Thessalonica, a church that was very young, very, very young in their faith. Some scholars say it's 3 weeks old in the Lord, and some say at the outset, 3 months old in the Lord. And he writes to them. And it's an interesting thing, lest anybody tell you that you can't talk to new converts about spiritual things or doctrinal things, heavy doctrinal issues. You can't do that with people. This is what they say. Paul writes and deals with almost every major doctrine in the Bible in these two epistles. He deals with Trinity. I mean, we could just list them, and I have listed them. And he deals with almost every major doctrine that you can, almost everyone that you can think of in these two small epistles to this young assembly in the faith. And so what we look at this, and he is going to talk, and so this chapter 2 is a companion, really, of chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and then 5 through 1 through 11. And so we're not going to exegete that passage and then try to do this one. We're going to just stick with this for, at the moment. But he's talking to them about people in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians. He's dealing with them from an issue that, you know, you're being persecuted. Watch out, those people who are persecuting you are, is it really, it's a testimony of your faith in Christ. So why would you be persecuted? And he talks to this about the to the Galatians as well. You know, why would you be persecuted if you did not, if your faith in Christ was not solid? And he tells them this. He says, watch out. It says verse 6, seeing as you have a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Unending destruction. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So he's telling them this. He's saying, this is their end. This is what is going to take place. Take heart. And then in chapter 2, he transitions them. He says, now we beseech you, verse 1. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That is classically called, the rapture. And if we could have the thing up there, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. The bottom one, down one, right, bro? Okay, so there we go. That is classically called the rapture of the church, and I'm doing this and it's not working. The battery just wore out. No. Okay, so what happens is it's the rapture of the church. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, you have here, okay, thank you. Yeah, I had that down arrow, right? Roger that. Okay, maybe it's the way my thumb is. So what you have is you have the church age, and then he's telling them in chapter 4, verse 17, rapture, being snatched away. And that's an interesting way, caught up in verse 17, caught up, to be caught up. It's the Latin Vulgate translates this rapturo. This is where we get the English word rapture. That's why we say rapture and rapture of the church. And so the church age is undefined. I didn't want to go through the Daniel's 70th week in which we are in. We are in the hiatus or the parentheses between the 69th and the 70th week. 70 weeks of years, actually. And so this is a beautiful picture. The church age is a parenthesis. It's not found in the Old Testament. We're not going to even talk about that extensively. We won't do it. But the church will be caught up together with him, raptured, rapturo, snatched. And it really is, the Greek is being snatched away with violence. Boom. In other words, it's not going to hurt. We'll just be there in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is the next step for prophecy on the grand scale. Behold, I show you a mystery. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And that word is used regarding the church and also the end result of the church. And so we see here, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And so, boom, gone in the moment. Atomos. It's an undefined time. You cannot cut the time. It's even shorter than a nanosecond. Boom, gone. And we get cutesy with that. And I tell some of my friends sometimes, I'll say, you know, after the rapture, you can have my truck. And they go, ha, ha, what? And that's not that cutesy. But when we look at this situation, he is telling them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, that is the next event. That is what is going to take place. And by our gathering together unto him. Now you say, Chris, you know, we talk about this a lot, you know. But I want us to be comforted in this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Because the times that we're living in now is not even close to what they were living in terms of persecution, in terms of situations that we are facing. But if we look back and take a step back of what the stage is being set as, we can easily see the next thing on God's calendar, the rapture of the church, because that stage is being set right before our eyes. We're looking at this and we're saying to ourselves, whoa, wait a minute. This is exactly what people in the United States government wants to do. They want us to move into the United Nations, world globalization, world, you know, all this. And we've got the world pandemic and world vaccinations. Some countries will not allow you to come into their country unless you have documentation that you have been vaccinated. And I think to myself, I don't care about the vaccine. I mean, I do care about the vaccine and all that. That's great, right? That's wonderful, actually. But take back and look at the overall picture of what they're really trying to say, what they're really trying to do. And that can cause great consternation to a Christian in the United States, specifically to us. And so he tells them this. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together. And that's right here in the air. Boom. Where's the little button for the light? Very bottom. That's this right there. And that's, you know, we could show you. I was telling this to Larry. I wish I could really show this and dramaticness and all that kind of stuff on the screen. But I'm not that good. And I'm not good at all. But we look at this and our gathering together with him, gathering together. And then we see here the reasoning in light of his return. Look at verse 2. So we see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. He's coming again. This is our hope. This is the blessed hope. This is exactly what Paul writes to Timothy. And he says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so this is, we're looking for this. We're looking for this. Bob Keating, do you remember years ago, somebody, I don't know what ministry, gave little lapel pins with a trumpet on it. I think it was maybe Jerry Falwell or something, and it had on there, if you gave money and got one, you get perhaps today, a little trumpet, right? Remember that? Do you remember that? Okay, so that still stands. That, not the pin, but the idea of perhaps today. Perhaps this very moment. What an illustration to end this sermon. And if he wants to interrupt us with it, that's fine with me. You know, boom, gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's exactly what he is talking about, this thing called the rapture. So that's rapture mentioned once in this passage. I want us to look at that you soon not be shaken, verse 2. Don't be soon shaken. And the reasoning for this, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as the day of the Lord is present. Don't be rattled. These guys are trying to rattle you. They are writing to you. They're giving you information that is false. It's absolutely false. Don't be troubled by spirit nor by word nor even a letter that comes in my name. I am not the author of this, and neither is God. And so what happens is, forget it. Don't look at it. Don't be troubled by it. A lot of us are troubled by the situations that we're facing today. We're looking at the world and we're going, oh, this is really grabbing my heart and hurting my heart in the sense that it really causes me great consternation. I know people who are really upset by this, and I understand that. I really understand that. And so when you look at this, and he says that the day of the Lord is present, and then we look at verse 3, 3 through 12, actually, and, you know, this is, I remember, just to back up just a bit, I remember when I first got saved, the first year I was saved, I lived down at, in Gambier, Ohio. Which, Gambier, Ohio? Yeah, Gambier, Ohio, about an hour north of Columbus, and I was going to a Pentecostal Bible college called Mount Vernon Bible College. And I was going on Gambier, Ohio's campus, Kenyon College, which is an old college. It's an old Episcopalian college, beautiful place, expensive to go to. And I remember us Christians were there, and one day it was in a foggy, foggy day. And I remember walking, a foggy night, actually. And I was walking, I had just gotten on the campus, and I was going to go visit with my friend Dave Weibel and Mike Sampson and Patty and all these different people. And it was just really interesting because I couldn't find them. I couldn't find them. My first year, I did not know much about the rapture. I didn't know, but I remember Larry Norman's old song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready, and it was running in my mind as I'm walking through the fog going, where's, and I'm all over the campus. I'm walking to all the places I thought they would be at, couldn't find them. I'm going, I've been left behind. Then I found a Christian, and I'm going, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, we've been left behind. You know, and it was just really weird. Well, that's not true. It depends on your view of eschatology, if you've been left behind or not. Not really. I mean, you're going to be taken if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. This is the great comfort. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so this is the thing that we look at. And then he tells us this. He says, let no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by any of this. Don't be deceived by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Now, the Amplified Bible, the classic edition, and then many, many guys like J. Dwight Pentecost and Leon Wood and E. Schuyler English. You go, who? You know, he's the guy that edited the Schofield Bible. He was the editor of the Schofield Bible, the new Schofield Bible. And they make a point that this is not it's apostasia in the Greek, and it can mean a falling away or rebellion. The ESV translates it rebellion, but it also can be translated departure. It also can be translated departure. And the prepositional phrase that is missing from here, that is not missing from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says a departure, and he uses a different form of that word, from the faith. The from the faith is not here. So a lot of guys are saying that this is another reference to the rapture. If that is true, this is a pure, pure verse discussing the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. This is fantastic if that's accurate. And I personally believe it is. I think it is accurate because it makes sense in the context. Absolutely makes sense in the context. Then that man of sin be revealed. So we're not going to know. So the rapture takes place. We will not know. We have the timeline. There is a period of time, a gap of time between that and the signing of the covenant of Antichrist, Daniel chapter 9, and the signing of the covenant for 1 week of years, actually, for 1 week, the signing of the covenant with Israel, that particular signing starts the tribulation period. Right there. It's not the rapture of the church that starts it. It is the signing of that covenant. So this is what is going to take place, and you and I will not be here. So I'm not trying to poo-poo the United Nations work on global governance, but it's not going to happen in our lifetime. That one world government will not happen in our lifetime. It will happen after the signing of this covenant. It will take place. And so he says a departure here, and I believe that's really the rapture of the church, and then the deceiver is revealed. The Antichrist, the beast, whatever you want to call him, and you see a delineation of who he is, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination, desolation as spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, come on. Something's up, man. I don't know. It's not working. Nothing's working. I took it out. It's not working. I'm sorry. It's a Mac.
Take it out back and shoot it.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I'll leave the... Oh. Okay, the arrows? Okay. Does this still... Does that still hit it?
Yeah, that still works.
Okay. That's the only thing. Mm. The only problem with this thing is the nut holding it. Okay. So, what you have here is the signing of the covenant that starts the tribulation period. If you want to know what the tribulation period is all about, Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Bill, are you going to be discussing this? Is that what you're going to be doing? You've done this already. Okay, well, let's close in prayer. All right, let's just close in prayer and thank the Lord for a short service. Yeah, especially with me. Okay. So this guy, he's the abomination desolation as spoken of by Daniel the prophet. You'll see this not working. And... Okay, yeah, that's it. I the wrong button. Okay, so you have here the first 3.5 years, but in the midst of this 7-year period, you have these seals, and they're not from the zoo at all. There are judgments being done, and we'll see that in Matthew 24, 4 through 8. But then you have this abomination, desolation. The Lord Jesus speaks of this very clearly in Matthew 24, verse 15 especially. And then he talks about what is called the Great Tribulation. And this is the last half of that. That's where they call it the Great Tribulation. It's misnomered, misnamed, to call the whole 7-year period the Great Tribulation. It is the last 3.5 years. It is the last 3.5 years. So I'm doing this because he tells us this, and this is verse 5 of Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I repeatedly told you these things? So the repetition's okay. I repeatedly told you these things. That's what the word here, I told you these things. I repeatedly told you. My dear brothers and sisters, when I first got saved, and a few years after I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, I was, to put a little pun on this one, enraptured with the rapture. I was enraptured with how short the time is. I was like always on the edge, and I'm going, this is fantastic, this is incredible, he could come at any moment. So much so that I went out and got one of those rubber stamps made. It said, he is coming soon. He is coming soon, and I stamped every bill with it. every envelope had it on the back, you know, not sealed with a kiss, sealed with that. He's coming soon. Boom. Boom, every time, hit it with the ink. Remember that, Barb? We did that. I stamped everything with it. I stamped Barb's forehead for a while. He is coming soon. Boom. I'm only kidding about stamping Barb's forehead. But, I was so excited about that. So, what changed? I've been saved for 47 years. It'll be 48. No, excuse me. I've been saved 49 years. It'll be 50 years. This March. What's changed? Well, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? You guys say that he's coming. When is he going to come? We look at that in 1 Peter. Had people challenge me on the street with that. Why hasn't he come? I had a fellow, he was representing a few of his friends, and he came up to me, he says, you're a Christian? I said, yeah, we were preaching on the street, and it was in Times Square, actually. And he said, where, and it was almost like he was quoting the verse, where, you believe in Jesus? I said, yeah. He said, where is the promise of his coming? You know, for years, and he almost quoting the passage. And I said, can you just hold for a second? He goes, yeah, sure. I went and got my Bible. And I showed him that passage. I said, the reason why he has not come this very moment is for you, that you would come to him now. Because afterwards, it's going to be so difficult, so unbelievably hard to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will have incredible persecution. And if you do believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the percentage of you dying for your faith is big. Very big, and that's in 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation. And so we look at this and we say to ourselves, this is incredible. This is incredible what's taking place or will take place for us. And not to be discouraged by what's happening in the world with this pandemic, not to be discouraged from the political action that is taking place, not to be discouraged by the threat of communism or socialism or Marxism or anything else, because Jesus Christ is coming again for the rapture. And I love that. I love the song, coming again, coming again, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Any moment, in a moment. Now, this is the rapture of the church is different than when he is going to talk about to us and talks to us exclusively about, and so you got this 21 judgments, and you'll see here that they increase in the second half of the week, then you've got the second coming of Christ, the event. That's different than the rapture. Don't confuse this. Do not confuse this. This is not Matthew. That's Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is right through here. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to culminate that, this seven-year period, with his second coming. And we will be with him. Because during this period of time, we are up in the heavens, having the judgment seat of Christ and the great and the marriage supper of the Lamb. During, you know, what are we going to be doing while this? Well, we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy. We're going to be with him, the judgment seat of Christ, in terms of how the Christian has lived their life, how they have done, and crowns will be given, etc., by the Lord Jesus for faithful service. And I also believe during the millennial reign of Christ, which will come, and we'll talk about that 75-day period, but the thousand-year reign, it's going to be Christians who are going to share in that reigning with him. The Lord Jesus is coming physically, and we will too. We will be physically coming at the second coming with him. This blows away post-tribulationalism. It blows it away, and that we've got great reasons for that. But it's pre-tribulational, and then we will not be here. And so after we're taken away, that man of sin will be revealed. We think we've got problems now politically. This Antichrist will be the answer to those problems from a secular point of view. Actually, even from a religious point of view. From a religious point of view, he is going to, you know, he's going to do it all. One world government, one world religion, you know, coexist, right? It's not going to coexist. It's going to be whatever he says it's going to be. And this is something of great import. It's an interesting thing because a number of years ago, let's see, what year was that? 2010, people did an article in USA Today that said this is to be poo-pooed. What if the end really isn't near? And they give a full-length article on why this isn't going to take place. Really? I'm not going to believe USA Today over the Word. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to do, though, is believe the Word. I'm going to do this because this is exactly what God tells us he's going to tell us. And he says, don't be upset. This is what's going to take place. And then he talks about, remember not, I was with you. I constantly told you these things. And now you know what restraineth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And was working in their times during that time when Paul is writing to them. And it's working now. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Let me just say something. The only barometer, I don't know how to put this on a car. Bill, you would know this. On a car, sometimes they put a governor on there. Isn't that right? They put a governor on how fast a car could go. Okay, so that governor, it restricts, doesn't it? We are, the church is the governor on the restriction of the evil that could take place and will take place during that seven-year tribulation. So the world ought to thank us. Actually, the world ought to thank the Lord. They ought to come to him, number one. And they ought to thank the Lord that the church is still here. Because it would be unprecedented evil. Unprecedented evil and wickedness and the of that. I mean, Bill went through that the first seal that we have here. The first one, first or second, you have a quarter of the world's population die. Talk about a pandemic. You know, these are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, these four seals, and death is one of them. And it's a quarter of the world's, so we're 8 billion, a quarter of 2 billion people will die if he came And then they had the signing of the covenant. First two seals. Quarter of the world's population. 2 billion people. That's staggering. That ought to tell us something about our mission while we're here. That ought to tell us something about our mission that He has for us right while we're here. In this passage, you see the rapture mentioned, if we hold to, and we hold to verse 3 as a departure, 3 times the rapture is mentioned in this passage alone, telling the Thessalonican church that you are not going to go through this and you will be taken. And this is what is going to take place. This guy is going to come and he's going to set himself up as God. You don't worship him as God. And you don't take that mark. You're marked for death. You're marked for death. And there are guys who are called tribulation saints and that who do die. And they die by a guillotine. They die for not taking the mark. Listen, I got an article here about putting chips in people. 2006. That's already happened. I mean, it happens in dogs all the time, you know. You get a dog, you go to the vet, let's put a chip in them so we know where the dog is, etc. You know, this is easy. The technology is already there. And so you either take that mark, whatever that mark is. You know, some say it's a chipping tattoo type of thing on the hand, back of the hand, and the end or the forehead. And it's devastating. That's what it is. He shall be revealed. And then it says in verse 8, look at verse 8, then that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that is right here. But he has done major league devastation. Major league devastation. I saw a thing on the news the other day, and they said this. They made this point. Secular thing. They said, can one man change history? Yeah. I'm chuckling. You got Adolf Hitler. 55 million people died because of him. One man. Can one man make a difference? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will this man make a difference? Yeah, he will make a difference. He will rule the world at this time. He will be he will have inside him Satan himself. Not a demon. He'll have Satan himself possess him. We got much work to do. And notice what he talks about. This is the coming, and even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is why he's called the Antichrist. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ proved that he was Messiah when he was on earth. He proved he was Messiah by the things that he did, the miraculous. In fact, he tells John, the disciples of John, to go back to John when he was in prison, said the lame are healed, they can walk, and the blind can see. We did this in the Greek text, right? And all these kinds of things. And we look at that because Messiah is here. Don't be discouraged, John the Baptist. And we shouldn't be either, because he's coming for us. He is coming for us. So I look at this and I say to myself, okay, so what now do we do? What now do we as Christians do? I've got a little song here. I'm not going to sing it. It's a very famous song, but it's one of incredible wickedness. It's a catchy tune written by a guy who wrote it, and it caught the world. But here it is. Imagine there is no heaven. It is easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there is no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. There is no peace without Jesus Christ, right? Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer. You betcha. But I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. That's where the world is headed. That's imagined by John Lennon. And I say to myself, this is where the world is heading. He has left us to be salt and light to this empty, empty world. My job in my as a Christian is to refocus and to focus on Him. It's not political gamesmanship. It's not anything else. My job in being here is to tell people about Jesus Christ before we get raptured. Before we get raptured, because what happens is there's no witnessing in heaven. We'll witness things. We will know things for sure, but there's no more witnessing once we're with Him. There's no more opportunity. And then the world will be thrown into, you can see how this would easily happen. This could easily happen, you know. More now today than ever before, this could easily take place. I'm praying, my prayer is, and this is what we want to do. I exhort you, therefore, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And for this I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth, verity. I will, therefore, that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We are in a situation in the United States in which people have reported that the election was stolen. My situation is this. We, as Christians, need to pray. Because we need to pray for that situation. We need to pray that we constantly are praying for the authorities in our government, for all men everywhere, that we would get the gospel to them. Don't ever lose sight of the prize. And that prize is coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon. Maybe evening and maybe soon, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank You so much for Your great grace that never fails. And we ask You, Lord, that we would constantly obey Your word and focus on Him, the living Word, and that we would never fail You, Lord. Help us in these trying times and exasperating times that we're looking at people who are trying to steal elections and trying to take over the United States with a philosophy that is godless and trying to do all these different things, Lord, and we're really upset by this, but help us to be more upset at the people who are without Your Son. Help us to be grieved by that and help us to share our faith with them, because He is coming soon, at any moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Lord, we ask You and implore You that our hearts would be revived to know that He is coming at any moment, and that we know You've already told us what is coming down the pike once we're gone because of the rapture. You already told us what is going to take place. You've already outlined it for us to warn us, not only the Thessalonican church to comfort them, but also to sober us up, to understand our responsibilities, not only to pray, but to speak on behalf of You to them, that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As it gets darker and darker, we pray that we would shine brighter and brighter with Your Son. And we ask these things, Lord, and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.